and welcome to another episode of the Total Football Analysis Women's Football Podcast. I'm your host, Abdullah, joined by the one and only Gavin. We are back again. Sorry, it's been a while. The coronavirus doesn't help anybody's cause, so we've kind of just been impacted by that, you know, in our own ways, due to our real life jobs and everything. So, you know, recording was a bit of an issue before we even start. You know, hope everybody's safe, hope everybody's following the precautionary measures. You know, we'll be out of this sooner rather than later, and we'll be back to, you know, the thing that we love the most, which is football. Gavin, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. Can't complain. It's been a little bit of a mess these past couple of weeks trying to figure out everything, but, you know, we're taking it day by day and figuring it all out.
Yeah, man. It is what it is, as they say. But you know what? We're here to talk about women's football, and we're here to entertain as much as inform. So we have something a little bit different today. We decided that we were actually going to do something else. We had something else planned for today. But then we kind of decided, you know what, let's have some fun. It is a bit of a dull mood right now, so let's get everybody involved in some way, shape, or form. And we've decided to go with something that was on TFA earlier. It took a little bit of a back burner. You know, it was on the back burner for a bit, but we're going to bring it back for women's football. It's being done for the first time. We're going to be bringing up the Tactics Wars. And if for people that don't know, basically this is where we'll have a set scenario. And it's up to me and Gavin to come up with two teams that we think would fit said scenario or do well in said scenario. And at the end of the show, when the episode is released, we're going to have a Twitter poll up for you guys to vote whether you think my team is better or his team is better. And who the winner gets bragging rights, I guess. And then we'll do this, you know, for the next Tactics Wars or something like that. We'll figure that out later. But without further ado, Gavin, I'm going to let you lay out the scenario that we have, and, you know, let's take it from there.
Yeah, we took it to be a little fun the first time. And we went with an out there 3-4-2-1 formation. So Abdul and I kind of took a day to figure out teams, personnel we'd like to have. We put a restriction on it to kind of make it interesting. We were only allowed to have two players per club. So, you know, the obvious things, like if you were to do this and have no restrictions, odds are you'd probably have a lot of Lyon players in there. So we tried to stay away from that. Interesting by that part. But we kind of just put that formation out there and kind of went with the ideology that our side was coming up against a team playing kind of a 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-2, kind of hybrid setup, depending on if they were attacking or defending. That team was probably playing with a little bit of a deeper block than most teams, and then we're kind of seeing how we would set our team up, who we'd have, and then how we'd go about breaking teams down using our personnel. So we're going to kind of go through the teams. We're going to start out going through the defenders, then we're going to go midfielders and then attackers. And then to round it out, we're going to talk about how exactly everything would come together for each of our sides and how the tactics portion of it would really work out. So how about you start out with your goalkeeper and defense?
So my goalkeeper is PSG's Christine Endler. I've got a three-person backline of Abby Dahlkemper from The Courage. I've got Julie Ertz from the Chicago Red Stars, and I've got Magdalena Eriksson from Chelsea. What about you?
So I've got Neuer in goal, and then I have a back three of Dahlkemper. Ertz as well, and Steph Houghton from Manchester City. So go kind of give a little bit of a rundown as to a little one or two kind of sentence tidbit on why you picked each of those players.
So my reason, goalkeeper, I'll start there. For me, Christine Endler, I mean, first time I saw her was at the World Cup the last year with Chile, and she was honestly one of the best goalkeepers, even though they, you know, they played well. And I just saw her play there, and I was like, it's unbelievable how well she played for a side that was an underdog in most of their games, you know. And then this season, kind of when I was doing my research on PSG, you know, for the data analysis piece that I did a few weeks ago, watching the games against Lyon and other teams, she was kind of, you know, she was really, really good. She was really good with her reflexes. She had a lot of good reaction times. And looking at, I mean, if you just simply looking at the stats, PSG women up until this point in the season have scored 60 goals and they've only conceded 7. I mean, that's a testament to the goalkeeper as much as it is the defense. So realistically, I mean, that's kind of where my reasoning for the goalkeeper came from. My back three, well, I personally, I'm a huge Julie Ertz fan. Obviously we've seen her in defense midfield. We've seen her at center back as well. I got her in for her versatility, her leadership at the back, and her ability to be able to read play and kind of play out from the back when needed. Abby Dahlkemper, again, a rock for the Courage, who won the league last year. She's been, again, another good ball player. She won the World Cup with the U.S. along with Ertz. So, you know, I wanted the youthful experience. I'm in there. Sorry about that. My throat's dry. And I took Eriksen from Chelsea. Again, another leader at the back. She's been, you know, she's kind of been the cover defender, but she can also play a little bit of an aggressive role. So I wanted to be able to get, the three kind of three leaders at the back to kind of command the players in front of them. And all three of them have, while they're all really, and they're all really good ball players, like at least, you know, Ertz and Dahlkemper can really play out from the back. And I wanted a mixture of ball players, and then with Eriksen, get somebody in there who's also got the finesse, but can also get a tackle in there, who can also tackle. But then, while they may not be physical defenders, I've kind of solved that problem further upfield, but we'll get there. What about you?
Yes, I went with Neyer in goal. Just haven't seen how she's replaced Hope Solo in goal for the United States, and her performances at Chicago over the past season, you know, leading them obviously to that NWSL final where they lost to the Courage rather emphatically, to be fair. But her performances were just top notch all season long. And she was a big reason as to Ertz, which I'll get onto in a little bit, as to why they were so successful. Dahlkemper, I've actually been taking an in-depth look into the NC Courage this week, and that piece will be coming out tomorrow. Actually, well, depending on when this podcast comes out, it'll probably already be out. But I mean, she's just been sensational since I've been watching them, you know, a lot over the past week and a half ish. And she was one of the easy picks to have in terms of her defending capabilities and just her ball abilities. One thing I've noticed that she's really good in isolation and 1v1 scenarios. And it's one of the things that Courage kind of relies on when they defend, because they put so many numbers forward, is their central defender's abilities to stand attackers up on the opposition side as they're looking to counter and give the rest of the side time to draw back and take their shape. Steph Houghton, I think, needs very little explanation. I mean, she's been the leader for Manchester City. Just in the same way you were talking about PSG, I don't know, have the numbers off the top of my head, but City have been probably the most impressive defensive side in the FAWSL this season. And she's been just the rock at the heart of that defense. As well, she knows how to pick a pass extremely well. She's just a perfect all-around center half to have on the side. And then Julie Ertz, main thing has been just, again, as you kind of touched on both with her, her leadership first and foremost, both for Red Star and the United States, but also versatility. And that's one of the things that probably get into a little later on in terms of how the side will set up. But just having that ability for her to switch in between being able to play a center back position and move up into kind of, you know, the central midfield and be extremely effective there as well.
Excellent. Fine. You want to get into the midfield then, and we'll start with you there.
Yeah. So, playing wing back roles, and having a double pivot in the midfield, and I went for Lucy Bronze of Lyon on the right hand side, and Dunn of the Courage on the left hand side. In the center midfield, I kind of picked an interesting combination. I kind of went extreme defense and extreme attack, and I went with Gunner's Daughter of Wolfsburg as my first central midfielder, and then Martins of Barcelona as my second midfielder. I think Dunn has shown just how amazing she really is playing for the Courage and the United States, and just her ability to play just extreme different amount of positions. And the attacking ability that she gives down that left-hand side, especially in a situation like this where we have a three-back formation. And she kind of has that freedom to move up the pitch and give that attacking ability to the side. And I kind of used that ideology when picking Bronze. You know, she's able to attack extremely well, but she's also able to drop deep and defend in situations where, you know, Dunn pushes way higher up the field. Bronze equally capable of playing at a super high level defending, as she's shown at Lyon and for England. That's been so. I thought she was a very good addition for the side. Gunner's Daughter is another one. Watching Wolfsburg, we did a couple of those pieces a couple of weeks ago, and just her role is playing at that kind of deep lying playmaker role for Wolfsburg, sitting right in front of the defense and just kind of orchestrating play, which just really stood out to me. So in terms of, as we'll go into the full team tactics around that, having her being able to do that sometimes alongside Julie Ertz, I thought was essential for the team. And kind of having that deep player allowed me to be a little bit more free with the second central midfielder. And that's why I went with Gavin out there one, and just because you wouldn't kind of think about Martins in a deeper lying position, but in this kind of setup and squad, she'll mostly be kind of getting forward and attacking alongside the three attacking players we'll get into in a minute. After coming back from injury, she's been a little taking her time to get back to full fitness and get back her mojo back in the team, but you know, no one can forget the type of quality player she is, and it's still such a young age. She still has plenty of time. So yeah, she was.
That's fair. I was quite shocked when you played her in that deep role. When I first saw it, I was like, "Huh? Like, am I missing something here? Like, what's going on?" And then when you explained it, I was like, "Oh, I can kind of see it." Well, okay, so I went with the same two wing back roles and a double pivot. My wing backs are the same as yours. I've got Crystal Dunn on the left, and I've got Lucy Bronze on the right hand side. Kind of for similar reasons to you, I had the same thinking. Like, I mean, Dunn has been exceptional for the US in an attacking role on the left. And when I'm playing with wing backs, and especially against a low block, you want two wide players who can really stretch the other team, out wide. And, Bronze is kind of the best right back in the world. I mean, you can't go wrong, you know, putting her on your side, regardless of position that she's in. And Crystal Dunn has proved to be, you know, exceptional as well. And especially, you know, with her crossing ability and her versatility, being able to play as an attacking midfielder for the Courage, as she does, as she did, you know, definitely last season and normally does. My double pivot's a bit different to yours. I kind of went for a semi-conservative double pivot who can kind of, they can both kind of do both roles, but both are equally adept at one, you know, at two, three things, but they have their strong points. So I went with Marin Mielda. Some people may be surprised, but I went with the Chelsea defensive midfielder because of her performances this season. She's, I think, been Chelsea's heart and soul. You know, the team has, you know, ticked along because of her, you know, her place in the team. And she's done extremely well at right back this season, you know, filling in for, you know, for injuries, and she's kind of now made that role her own. But the defensive qualities that she always showed in her natural position in midfield is, you know, shown a right back, and I wanted to bring that back into midfield because I think she is one of the most underrated defensive midfielders in the world right now. I was on Twitter. I was looking at a couple of there was a Copa 90 video. They had their episode called "That's the Tea" on women's football, and I think Flo Lloyd Hughes and Farrah Williams were on, and they were picking their five-a-side team, and both of them had Mara Mielda in there alongside other players. I mean, she was the only one common between the two teams. I mean, I'm not saying that that's anything, but it's an indication that Mara Mielda is so highly regarded by a lot of people, you know, in the footballing world. My other midfielder is French captain and Lyon midfielder Amélie Henry. I mean, it's no secret she's one of the best in the world. I, again, personally, another one of my favorites. I love defensive midfielders, so I have this huge appreciation for them. I did this huge long in-depth piece on Henry last year for the Total Football Analysis magazine, and you know, after her performances at the World Cup and seeing her there, and obviously for Lyon, she can play forward, she can play backwards, she can defend, she can attack. Her passing range is incredible. Her vision, her positional sense is unreal, and she really knows how to control a midfield. So for me, being able to play that role of unlocking a defense, you know, would lie with Amélie Henry from a deeper position. Yeah, so now we move on to the attack.
All right, yeah. I think slightly different outlooks and how we set the central midfield up, so it'll be interesting to see what coming together and how we're going to play the sides. I'll be interested to hear how you have your setup. But I went with a front three. So we kind of went with two inside, very inside forwards, and then one striker up top. I went with a very, very, very deadly attacking three. On the right-hand side, coming inside, I have Danielle Van de Donk. I don't think she needs any kind of introduction, and her performances with Arsenal have been amazing, even as she's made this transition from kind of a central midfielder into almost like a false right wing kind of player, where she's given the freedom to move inside and, you know, link up with Miedema as much as she pleases. And then on the left side, keeping with that Wolfsburg connection, I have Harder in there. I think we spoke about her lavishly on our last podcast, talking about her ability, you know, with the ball and without the ball, and just kind of the work she puts in for the side. And after that conversation, I mean, she was the first name on my team sheet. So she's essential to everything that I would have this team do. And then up top, I have the Arsenal striker herself, Vivian Miedema. I mean, her numbers speak for herself, for themselves, in terms of the just goal count she's been able to rack up, both with the Netherlands and with Arsenal. And you can make the argument all day, but I would be on the side of she was cheated out of the Ballon d'Or last season. Whether that's, you know, a strong opinion or not, I think she had a wonderful season. She was very deserving of to be kind of known as the best women's player of the year last year. But just having her, you're guaranteed goals on your side. So
that's fair. Your initial team had a little bit of a different striker, and I was like, okay, I can see how they, when you switched to Miedema, I was like, okay, I can see how you've connected the team together now. So it was a good pick. So my front three, as you said, I've got a similar two attacking midfielders and a striker. So again, like you, I have Harder in my team as well. I put her on the right side, actually. And I'll explain the reason why, you know, when we get into the style of play later. I've got her coming in again. Like we said, like I did the scout report on her a couple of weeks ago. and, you know, her just overall play in that attacking areas and her ability to kind of just move across the lines and just kind of dictate space is unreal. And she's someone who, again, guarantees goals as well. She can play up top. She can play in the hole. She can play out wide. So, you know, really you can kind of put her anywhere and she'll do it. She'll do a hell of a job. On the other side, I've got, like you, I've got Danielle Vanderdonk, and actually Vanderdonk was the first person on my team sheet. She's Arsenal's, you know, prime pristine playmaker. She makes that team tick. She makes the team run. You know, her vision is next, you know, beyond a lot of players I've seen in the world. And to me, I think for both the Netherlands and Arsenal, if she's out of the team and or if she's not playing well, the entire team doesn't really work. And a lot of Miedema's service for both club and country comes from Van der Donk and the understanding that those two have. And now here's where we've gone a little bit different. I took a little bit of a left field choice. I picked Kosovare Aslani of Tacon FC or Real Madrid, as people would know, and they will be known next season. Why have I picked her? Well, she can score goals. She can score goals. But for me, I picked her for her overall skill set, her ability to link play. People that watched the World Cup last year when Sweden were playing, she was their main striker. And, you know, her link up play with Jakobsen and other players in and around her, you know, her ability to drop in and kind of, you know, drop in, collect possession, let players run in behind, go out and get on the end of crosses. For me, she kind of played this complete role. And kind of the front three that I have kind of all synergized together in the way that I wanted this team to play. So that's kind of the reasoning behind my striker choice.
All right. Well, I think so. How do you want to set this up? Do you want to kind of split it up into maybe the, I guess, initial buildup of each side and how they would kind of set up in that, and then the attacking structure they'd have in terms of breaking down teams, and then maybe we could go into the kind of defensive transition.
Yeah, we can do that. How they go about counter-pressing. So, let's see. So, from a build-up perspective at the back, for me, again, so like I said, I have Dahlkemper, I have Julie Ertz, and I have Eriksen as my three defenders. Now, with Endler being an excellent shot stopper, I wanted someone to be in there to, you know, to kind of stop the long shots, to stop any counterattacks coming in. She's pretty decent coming off the line and stopping 1v1s. So my last line of defense is kind of sorted. Now, the three that I have in defense, when I want them to build up, I want, you know, obviously I want the three to kind of have the ball and kind of play it out towards Amadine Henry. But if the other team decide to press the midfield, I don't mind it going out to the wide players and kind of, you know, and then kind of allowing teams to kind of press my wide players, because if they try and press them, I think Bronze and Dunn both have the pace and intelligence to kind of get out of a press. You know, and then they've always got the option of going back to the center back, or they have the inside central midfielder next to them to take it. What I also have the three in midfield is because I want Ertz to step into midfield and create a third central midfielder. So that kind of then gives Henri the license to push a little bit forward and then kind of play almost like a Fabregas kind of role, pinging passes. And it also allows Dunn and Bronze to play a little bit of a higher, you know, higher position and kind of, you know, put crosses through from there. So that's kind of my build-up scenario that I would have in this team. What about yourself?
Yeah, so mine's kind of similar in the way of it, depending on kind of how the opposition sets up in terms of their defensive structure. And the main two roles that are going to kind of change depending on how that structure is Martins and Ertz. If the opposition's setting up in kind of a 4-4-2 and sending two attackers to go and press, then I'm going to keep Ertz back in a back three, keep Martins in that deep position, and probably have Dunn and Bronze kind of get super wide and maybe in higher to, you know, provide those outlets. But the reasoning behind having Ertz stay in the back three is allowing us to always have numerical advantage over those two initial pressing. After that, then they also have two really short options offering support in Gunner's Daughter and Martin's. And then from there, they can look into the outlets out wide of Bronze and Dunn, or they can look inside to Harder and Vandedal. But that gives us the most ability to have just, numerical advantages everywhere around the pitch. In terms of if the team were to play with a kind of 4-2-3-1 maybe formation, probably going to have Ertz push up into midfield. If we have only one player coming and pressing, then there's no need to have three defenders sitting back. So she would actually go and join Gunner's Daughter as a double pivot in the midfield, which will allow Martins to get forward. And then Dunn and Bronze would kind of remain the same. They'd have maybe slightly deeper roles as we send Martins forward, just to kind of help make sure in the event of possession being lost that we still have an adequate amount of numbers back. But at the same time, if you have four players of the quality that you have in Houghton, Dahlkemper, Ertz, and Gunner's Daughter, they'd be extremely adept at being able to snuff out any kind of counterattacking opportunities in a counterpressing situation. I'd be very comfortable leaving those four to do the initial buildup and using the remaining rest of the team to just kind of provide outlets and kind of move in and out of space.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, my whole reasoning for having Marin Mielde in the team is to provide that extra bit of solid defense. So when Ertz kind of steps into midfield, I kind of want Ertz and Mielde to create their own double pivot. And then having Dahlkemper, Ertz, and Eriksen and Mielde kind of being the back four almost to kind of stop any counter-pressing and any counter-attacks in any way. And that kind of allows my other three midfielders to kind of push forward and kind of do their thing. So I've got the defensive kind of assurance plus the enough attacking prowess, at the same time to kind of allow my team to go forward. It all depends on, like you said, it all depends on the opposition's, tactics. Are they going to press high? Are they going to press in midfield? Or are they going to just keep a low block and let us go onto them? Right, so moving on to the attacking structure of my team. Now, this is where it gets kind of fun, because now this is where everyone's skill set comes into play. I want my two wide players to be like secondary options in a way, where I want them to push forward and create space. I want them to kind of occupy the two fullbacks, obviously, and get the attention of their wider players to kind of keep them preoccupied, and offer Henri a passing option down out wide if my two attacking midfielders are marked out. Now, again, the reason for having Van de Donk and Harder in there, because they're excellent ball players and they're excellent in dribbling and taking possession and getting away from players. They're really good at dribbling as well. So for me, while Mielde will drop in with Ertz kind of creating the double pivot in front of Dahlkemper and Eriksen, Henri will kind of be in front of them taking possession and kind of picking, where she thinks that the next best option will be, whether it's kind of a long ball, long pass over the top towards one of the two wingbacks, or it's kind of a short pass into Van de Donk or Harder. And kind of let's take scenario one, where the ball goes into Van de Donk or goes into Harder. What I want is Aslani to kind of drop in and create an extra passing option for Harder. So if she receives the ball, I want Aslani to be able to take up that, give her an extra passing option. But what I want as well is I want Van de Donk to kind of make a run in behind, or vice versa with Harder. Rather, I'd have for Van de Donk on the ball, playing the passes in behind, because that's her strength. But so let's take it that way. That's okay. I'm going back. Let's say Van de Donk gets the ball. Aslani still drops in to give her a passing option. Harder's strength is running in behind as well. So she can play as a secondary striker, kind of ghosting in between lines and getting in behind, getting away from attackers. So, and Van de Donk's creativity and vision can kind of then find her. What can happen is Van de Donk then plays a pass in behind the defenders. Harder kind of can latch onto it. And if Harder can't get a shot away, you know, you always have Aslani as like the extra player who's created the space, who can then kind of run in back behind and kind of create the second player in the box. Now, on the assumption that Aslani's marked, Van de Donk is marked, this is where Bronze and Dunn come in, depending on what side they're on. This is where then Harder can play a ball out wide, get Bronze to kind of whip it in, and then you'll have Harder, Aslani, and Van de Donk, all three of them in the box, with Dunn on the opposite side, kind of just hanging around over there to take anything that goes over or goes through. So essentially, I'll have almost three, if not four, players in the box at any given attacking moment, especially against a team that, you know, is playing a low block. And then the whole point of Aslani dropping out is to kind of move defenders out of their shape. You know, it'll be up to them to kind of, the defenders to kind of say, okay, do we let her go and get the ball and then let the runners go in behind, or do we follow her and then leave the gap open in behind? So that's kind of where it comes from. So I've got Mielda kind of, you know, creating a double pivot with Ertz, just to kind of summarize. I got Henri sitting in front, kind of dictating play. And then you've got Van de Donk, Harder, Aslani, Dunn, Bronze, all kind of offering their own options, you know, and going by their own strengths in their positions.
Yeah, I like it. I think that was a very, very detailed description of how you'd set them up. So I think the second or the final part of your kind of description kind of falls in line with how I'd kind of emphasize my team setting up. And I think a major reason of why I had Martins in the side is to be able to kind of, or in the attacking third of the pitch, and being able to link up with Lucy Bronze on the right hand side. But I guess the main part of my attacking intent with this team would just be trying to create wide overloads. Again, if you have players like Dunn and Bronze out on the wing, then you have the defensive support of the back three and double pivot. Your wing backs are given a lot of freedom to be able to move up the pitch. And if you have world-class options like that out there, then it's best to utilize them. The reason I put Martins on the right side along with Bronze is to kind of give that extra option. If I'm picking one of my fullbacks or wingbacks to get forward, more often than not, it's probably going to be Dunn. I see Dunn being a much more attacking-minded fullback, whereas Bronze, you know, she's amazing going forward, but I would probably think she is better defensively than Dunn by a little bit. So having Martins on that side kind of adds the attacking ability to kind of match the right and left side. And more being able to focus on just having Martins and Bronze linking up with Van de Donk on this side and kind of creating overloads. I think a common thing we see, the biggest example that pops to my head is Pep Guardiola's Manchester City side. Creating overloads on one side of the field and then quickly switching play to the other side, where hopefully if you've implemented it correctly, you're going to have some isolation scenarios. And I saw that creating this team with having, you know, creating numerical numbers on the right-hand side with Van Donk and Martins and Bronze, and kind of moving that opposition's block over to their left-hand side before using one of their fantastic passing abilities and making a quick transition over to Dunn and using her pace to go at the opposition's right back in 1v1 situations. And then from there, you have the likes of Harder and Miedema, kind of just goal poaching in the box to be able to look for crosses, look for cutbacks. But you have two of the best finishers in the world waiting there to get on the end of those balls, and you're going to have results for that. In terms of kind of central build-up and movement, I think having Van de Donk's creativity in that kind of central midfield, where because of Bronze and Martins on that right-hand side, she's given the full freedom to go out wide and combine with them or move inside and you know, add that link. You know, you also have the potential of Harder moving into even more attacking role along to create maybe a two striker partnership at times, depending on how the opposition's setting up. In that scenario, Van de Donk kind of move even more central to play as, you know, an attacking midfielder, to be that link between the initial buildup, part of the team and then the two strikers. But the biggest thing you have with these three is just positional intelligence and the ability. You know, we went on and on and on the other week about Harder's ability to almost think four or five steps ahead of the rest of the field and position herself to be able to take advantage of that. And her being able to have that kind of vision working alongside Miedema and her goal scoring ability. I think it's, of course, we're creating super teams here, but it's almost near on impossible to be able to stop a combination like that going forward. And then kind of setting up to where you have, I spoke a little bit about it when we were talking about the midfield, Gunnar's daughter sitting there right in the heart of the kind of midfield, just waiting, kind of facilitating play, passing side to side and moving that opposition's block around just to find those holes and just to, you know, lull the defense and the defensive block of the opposition enough for the likes of Harder and Van de Donk and Martens to find these little pockets of space, to then go and find these 1v1 isolations out on the wide or to look to combine with Miedema up top. But that would definitely be the kind of overloading one side and then finding, you know, numerical advantages or 1v1 situations. I mean,
it's like you're banking on the world class
player. On them when it comes to being their defender in 1v1 situations
and go from there. And I think with me, it's more kind of trying to create, while I have some world class players out there, I'm relying more on numerical superiority and moving players out of positions and kind of into the, you know, the interchange between the three. For me, I think is a key part. No, but that's really interesting, and I really like the setup and the way you decided to kind of, you know, set up the attacking threat.
And then lastly, I guess we'll look at the, really
so obviously in possession, my team is in a 3-4-2-1
possession is lost when we're in attacking situations.
Kind of what I want to do then is
defensively set up to be able to deal with
and
counter attack.
Are super quick, and there are one thing about Bronze that I want to bring up specifically is for Lyon, she specifically drives back. Well, she's tracking back. She sometimes goes back to a right back slot, but then she also kind of drops into a defensive midfield position. Ideally, what I would like to do is have Bronze and Dunn kind of track back as soon as possible, so those two come back to create a back five, but then have them be in their wider positions. I've got Mielda kind of coming in. She's going to start acting as a sole defensive midfielder in front of Ertz, Dahlkemper, and Eriksen, kind of creating that two. Henri kind of just in front. Henri doesn't have the greatest pace, but she's got positional awareness. So what from her, the idea for her is to kind of try and block as many passing lanes as possible and kind of force the opposition to go out wide, because I've got three, if not four players in a central position in and around the box, and Mielda, Ertz, Eriksen, and Dahlkemper, to kind of deal with anything that comes in, you know, from out wide. Whether the opposition is playing with two strikers or one striker, it doesn't really matter. It's 4v2 or 3v1, and all will always win most of the time, right? Now my front three, what I want them to do is, it depends on where I'm losing the ball. If I'm losing it in midfield, then one of Harder or Van de Donk, the quicker one, will drop back and kind of create a third midfielder, because what I'm trying to do is have Mielda kind of go, as I said, go as almost as part of the defense, just kind of sitting in front, if not dropping in as a halfback. Henri and then one of the two attacking midfielders would sit in front. And I would have then the front two drop in as well, but then they would kind of be there ready to be for counter attacking. And then with Dunn and Bronze, now it depends on how and where the ball is. If it's in the half space, or it's in the wide areas, it changes. If it's in the half space, I want Dunn and Bronze to kind of drop in and play a little bit narrower, even have one of them drop into almost a midfield position. So I always have, I always maintain 3 to 4 players in midfield, and I have 3 to 4 players in defense, depending on what side. Otherwise, if it's really out wide, pull the two back into their natural positions at left back and right back, and have a flat back five to kind of deal with the situation.
Yeah, I like that. And I think in general, with, you know, these kind of formations, we're probably going to have fairly similar setups when it comes to counter pressing. That was a lot of stuff that I was going to hit on. But I think a major thing that I would focus on, especially with this type of formation, is just making sure that the center midfield is just as clogged up for the opposition as possible. Just the same way as we talked about, like, the initial buildup, you know, having the back three with Ertz's versatility and Gunnar's daughter right there in front of them, those four players lining up kind of give the same kind of, I give a comparison to the Manchester City women's team and the new kind of setup we've seen them take on in recent months before, you know, obviously play was suspended and everything like that. But we saw Weyer dropping into kind of a deeper role alongside Kira Walsh and kind of creating that box structure. And I see that a lot with this side as well, of having those four players to just force oppositions wide rather than being able to attack the team down the center. And then that gives the ability, you know, you can have Ertz, the normal central center defender, or Gunner's daughter, depending on positioning, kind of drop into in between the two center halves as they go wide, which gives Steph Houghton and Dahl Kemper the ability to go out wide and defend them and kind of hold them up to allow the team to be able to drop back in. I mentioned it at the very beginning when talking about the defense, Dahl Kemper's ability and 1v1 situations to hold up her attacker. I saw one situation that I mentioned specifically in my analysis, a game between the Courage and Chicago, where Sam Kerr got possession of the ball after a North Carolina Courage attack, and she found herself in a 1v1 situation with Dahl Kemper. But Dahl Kemper was able to use her ability to kind of just shield off and not allow her to beat her in any kind of way, and give Ersek the ability to drop back in and create a numerical advantage over Kerr. And then from there, the two of them kept her away, and then the third player came back and made a tackle to get the ball away. But it just kind of highlighted Dahl Kemper's ability to kind of get in these situations where she's totally comfortable working in 1v1 situations against these super skilled attackers. And that kind of works the same way in this system, where when the ball moves into these wide areas, you know, having these players holding up and allowing Bronze and Dunn out wide to be able to drop back and either kind of take possession away or further block any kind of forward movement, and force the team to go back. You know, obviously, I think when we're looking further up the pitch when possession is lost with the attacking players that we have, you know, so many people going forward, I think we would play a very high press where, you know, possession is lost and for the next 3 to 5 seconds. Excuse me, dry throat. And, you know, just giving it 3 to 5 seconds where players are just going and just trying to win possession back. I think ideally we're looking at situations where we're taking away passing options rather than looking for, like, straight turnovers in these areas. Just situations where we can force the opposition defenders to look long because there's no short options left.
It's kind of utilizing
and then relying on the aerial ability of our back three to be able to win these headers and start back our initial build up,
rather than going in straight for dispossession and counterattack, which is what a lot of teams try and do. Kind of forcing them to make their own mistakes rather than you you going in yourselves. Now, which is fair. So, yeah, I think that was a good I think that was a good shot on our teams. So what do you think? who's got the better team? Now, obviously, we're going to say that we have our better teams and we feel it's better. But we're going to leave that for everybody else to decide, for you guys to decide. So when this episode airs, when you see the tweet, along with the tweet, there will be a poll that'll be open for – how long do you want to keep it open for? I think I can go 4 or 5 days. Fair enough. So let's say 3 days. So you guys will have 3 days from the time this is – when this is released, to kind of get your
votes in. I'm not sure exactly how long Twitter allows you to keep it.
If not the next episode of the one, so the episode after the poll closes,
I was going to say, probably we'll have 2 or 3 days to allow people to get the time to listen.
And what we'll do next and kind of go from there. But having said that, I think we're done here. You have anything else to add? For sure. We've just to give everybody insight, we've already started planning the next one. We don't know when we're going to do it. We've already started planning it, and we've already discussing a few options and ideas. So if you guys like it, let us know.
We will definitely look forward to doing more kind of styles on this in the future.
Do it once a month if the demand is there. Otherwise, as always, thank you for listening. You know, we thank you for the support and the comments and feedback. We see you out there. We appreciate every tweet and message and DM that we get. You know, it keeps this thing, you know, alive, and it helps us keep going and giving us content. So again, we appreciate everybody out there from all the different, you know, supporters from different teams, and everybody supporting their team super hard. So, it is what it is again. You can follow us on social media. At KUNABD and at Real Gavin Ford and at Total Analysis for the overall machine that this is governed by. Again, we've got other podcasts available, the Premier League, Bundesliga, just to name a couple. So if you're interested there, you can kind of head over and listen to our friends over there. Other than that, listen, it is what it is. We appreciate it. Stay safe, and we'll catch you in the next one.